Man, Jazz Chisholm is a Yankee. And if you've been watching, if you're not new here, you've been watching Yankees Unload, you know Gary and I have been talking a lot about the idea of adding Jazz Chisholm to this roster. So very, very excited. We're going to dive into that. Gary, I'm just going to keep you on hold because we're sending it right over to the John Morosi interview. So he's not going to talk for the next 20 minutes and then he'll be back on. I'm kidding, of course. But we're really excited to break this thing down. We did just have John Morosi come on. He was able to talk about that. He's at Comerica Park currently right now in Detroit. So we really appreciate his time. So without further ado, here is our interview with John Morosi. All right, guys, Yankees Unload here, Jake Ellenbogen, Gary Sheffield Jr., and joining us is John Morosi, and we really appreciate his time because it is MLB trade deadline season, and the Yankees actually just made a move, believe it or not, for Jazz Chisholm. So, John, I'm going to start off right away. What are your thoughts on that move?
Well, Jake and Gary, first of all, thanks for the invitation. By the way, Gary and I have been going back and forth to schedule this for a number of weeks now. And basically, Gary said, listen, the 27th of July, the Yankees are going to get Jazz Chisholm, and within minutes of the trade being broken, you're going to be on the show. Perfect. Sounds like
we got lucky.
So I think Gary, producer of the year on that one. So excellent work on that. So I think that in a lot of ways, Jazz gives the Yankees exactly what they've needed. This has been a team that has been so heavily reliant on two great players for a lot of the season in the lineup. And I think what I love about Jazz is certainly he can play around the diamond as you need him. He can play center, he can play second, depending on what is most needed for your team right now. Certainly, the Yankees do need more out of second base than what they've gotten out of Glaber. They need more out of third base. They need more out of basically everybody who's not named Soto or Judge. And I think that in this context, you get another bat that I think has some energy and electrifying play. So I think for all those reasons, Jazz Chisholm is a very, very good fit for the New York Yankees.
We needed this, didn't we? The New York Yankees needed this. And I guess I'm going to ask the question that most Yankees fans, especially our audience, is going to wonder, is are the Yankees done, right? And this, I'm assuming, isn't the only move the Yankees aren't after. You mentioned defensive versatility, which Chisholm absolutely provides. There's another name. The Chicago Cubs have been saying that they're sellers or maybe not on the buyer's market. Are there any players out there that you have circled that the Yankees are also still looking at?
Sure. I think there's a few, Gary. And I would say, as you alluded to with the Cubs, Nico Horner, Mike Tauchman, who, of course, has already been a Yankee before, very highly thought of there. I would even argue that maybe you want to add some bullpen help, too. Chad Green, certainly very familiar to Yankees fans. He's someone else who I think with the Blue Jays making more and more moves. We saw the move with Nate Pearson earlier today, so I think Chad Green is a possibility. One name, I'm here in Detroit today, of course, that I would mention, too, that might help the Yankees is another ex-Yankee, Gio Urshela, someone who, again, is not going to carry your team, but a good complementary bat. I think that those types of players are what the Yankees need. I think that we certainly, and you look at the Yankee lineup, they're not going to change the fact that they are so reliant on Judge and Soto. We know that, and they're so great that you can certainly advance to the playoffs with that being the case, but they can't be the only two guys who are going, and I think that's where this team gets really interesting to where, listen, there's a lot of different places around the diamond where they could add. And I mentioned Chad Green. I think Clay Holmes is an all-star closer for a reason, but they've had to go to him so often that I think that adding in somebody else who you feel like can close routinely, I think will help you get the best version of Clay Holmes as possible, because ideally the Yankees expect to still be playing baseball at Halloween, and you got to find a way to keep him healthy and going for another three more months.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, something I wanted to bring up, actually two players I want to bring up. First off, we'll stick with the relievers there. Tanner Scott doesn't appear to be part of this deal. He is an all-star pitcher after all. So you would have probably heard him by now if he was part of this deal. Do you think the Yankees could still acquire him? Or do you think maybe this was, you know, going out and getting Jazz, this is kind of it. Maybe they look towards Esteves or like you know, mentioned with Green. Where do you see that?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think that with the Marlins deal, clearly that they've been talking, which is good to establish that. But I would say if there was an idea that they could include Tanner Scott in this trade, they probably would have done it by now. And we would know that that was the case. I think Tanner Scott is viewed around the industry as being one of the very best relievers available. And as a result, I think a lot of teams want him. And for a player like that, I would say, Jake, that typically we see the biggest offers made right on deadline day for a reliever who has a market like that. If it's more of a marginal guy who's going to pitch in the middle of the game, maybe you make that move right now. I think that's why the Jays traded Nate Pearson, because he was someone that the Cubs had interest in. It was probably just time for the Jays to move on, and they made that move today. I think it's easier to almost focus on some of those non-closer, non-elite, non-all-star guys right now, and then move Tanner Scott on the 29th or the 30th. Again, we could never rule something out, and certainly we know with this trade that the Marlins and Yankees have been talking, but I would just be surprised if after all the back and forth on Jazz, if all of a sudden there was the space to then make the Tanner Scott move as well.
Okay, well, I mean, that sounds good, but we dealt Augustin Ramirez, and this isn't someone who's considered one of the sexy prospects, right? He's not exactly our top guys. Do you get the sense, based on what you're hearing, that the Yankees are involved with their top guys, or is it a lot of fluff?
Well, I think it would have to be for someone who's controllable and impactful for a long time. And certainly Jazz is yes. not a pending free agent, so there is that value with him. But I think it honestly, for me, Gary, and it's a really important point that you make, I look around and we've seen some pretty significant moves to this point, Arozarena being one of them, where the teams have not had to give up their top four or five prospects to get the deal done. And so what that tells me is that prices are maybe a little more reasonable than we thought they were going to be, which is fun for us because that means more trades. So I think yeah. that this trade was a fair trade. I think there was a lot of back and forth, and obviously Peter Bendix is listening on everybody. He also knows the Yankees well from being in the same division for so long with the Tampa Bay Rays. So I think for that reason, there was maybe that comfort level for the Marlins and the Yankees to make this move. So I think in general, Gary, you make a very good point about what the price tag was. It was low enough. It was still substantial, but it was low enough that I think that the standards have been set in a relatively fair manner, which tells me that we should have a fun few days ahead.
I agree with that. I wanted to bring up Jonathan India. I know they had a lot of interest in him. Do you think that he's still on the table here and maybe, you know, looking more so just try and add bats and not really worrying about where to put them? Or do you think he's out of it with this trade?
Yeah, Jake, I don't think that India will be a Yankee. From what I could tell in the last 24 to 48 hours, that things weren't terribly hot in terms of negotiations for him. I still think that of all the teams out there, he'd be a tremendous fit with the Mariners, who have already been very active with Arozarena, certainly, and then adding a reliever and Yimi Garcia too. But I think that what I was told just last night was that the Reds were not really progressing on making a trade for Jonathan India, even though we can all see the mechanics and why it makes sense. The Reds have an abundance of position players, and it seems to me like someone at some point is going to get traded. I've had that thought ever since they signed Jamer Candelario in the offseason. So I think that makes for a lot of really interesting possibilities. But actually, this will be interesting to Yankees fans. Someone on the Reds roster who's got a little bit of value right now because they actually performed pretty well this season is Frankie Montas. Now, I realize he was hurt for the Yankees, but Gary, he's having a good year. So I think that we might actually see some interest in Frankie Montas out there in the industry in the next couple of days.
That was tough to hear. I'll be honest with you, John. First time on the show, and you're going to do us like that. But final question for me, John. I really need to know this because this isn't necessarily pertaining to the Yankees and their interests, but, of course, the Baltimore Orioles. They're sliding right now. They need pitching. What is the realistic market for Skubal? Are they actually shopping Holiday? Is it something that is a possibility?
You know, Gary, it's a really important question. It's one of the reasons why I've come here to Detroit to watch this game tonight, because Skubal is scheduled to start. So there's going to be a lot of scouts in attendance tonight, I'm sure. But what I would say is this. The Orioles are not shopping Holiday, and the Tigers are not shopping Skubal, but they might talk about them. I know that I'm kind of parsing words there, but I really believe that is what's happening here, where the Tigers must feel like, hey, if you're going to overwhelm us, we'll think about this. And I think what the Orioles are realizing, Gary, is that as many great prospects as they've gotten, and honestly, I think Westberg is better than they thought he was going to be, and maybe even Kowser is as well, and maybe even Mayo is too, even though he's still in the minor leagues. So you can't play everybody. There's a reason why they traded Austin Hayes just yesterday to the Phillies. So I think that we'll have to really see what that window into the soul is and the truth-telling that goes on July 30th when you really get to find out if someone is truly going to make this move. I get the sense that if it happens or not, it's going to be a last-hour kind of thing. The Orioles, if they really get aggressive here, I still believe they're the kind of team that could pull this deal off. But it would probably have to include Holiday, Bisaccia, and then some combination of Mayo or Kierstad, Connor Norby. It would have to be a massive trade. But, Gary, that's exactly what you would have to ask for someone with 2.5 years of control on a Cy Young Award potential winning pitcher. So I'm here tonight to see Scooble pitch, as long as he's not traded before the first pitch. We'll see what happens, but I'll certainly be in touch with both of you about what I'm hearing here in the coming days.
That sounds good, John. Last thing I just want to ask you, do you think either of Nestor Cortes, Gleyber Torres, and Alex Verdugo are traded by the trade deadline?
You know, great question. I think that I could see Torres just because, you know, he might be somebody that if they get a second baseman, depending on what their role is going to be for Chisholm, to where they may feel like they can, from a luxury tax perspective, it might make sense to move his salary out. If he's not going to play every day, and if you feel like he's no longer your best option at second base, then it does make sense to trade him. I know it seems hard to believe, but if they can find a meaningful upgrade, hypothetically, I'm just saying hypothetically, again, I just said I don't think he's going to get traded. But if they were to get someone like a Jonathan India who would play second base, yeah, then I would think that you would move Torres either to that team or someone else just to make the dollars balance out and honestly to free up the roster spot. So I think it's a really interesting question that you ask. With Nestor, I know he hasn't had the perfect season, but still he's someone that I was surprised to see the Dodgers trade Paxton for that reason. You almost never trade major league pitching depth right now if you're a contender. And so I think for that reason, you keep Nestor in place, however imperfect this Yankees rotation might be at the moment.
Well, we really appreciate you, John. You know, this has been awesome, and we look forward to speaking with you again. This has been fun.
And don't have too much fun in Detroit, unless, of course, Scooble's traded to the Yankees for whatever reason.
Yeah. Now, Gary, I will keep you posted. I promise you this. If Scooble's traded to the Yankees tonight, you guys call me back, okay? But keep up the great work. I appreciate the phone call. Gary, you know how I feel about your dad from covering him for so many years. So it's an honor to be on the show with you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. You take care. All right. Hope you guys enjoyed that. A lot of fun talking with John. Sounds to me like you can't rule out really anything at this point, because having a deal like this happen on July 27th, Gary, I think everything is on the table at this point. And the Yankees still have plenty of ammo because, and you know, we've talked very highly about Augustin Ramirez on the show, but everything's on the table because he is their 20th prospect, according to MLB.com. And I'm hearing that they haven't moved anybody inside the top 15. So,
and Ramirez wasn't necessarily playing like that type of ranking. I mean, he was playing like a stud.
Yeah.
But this is the benefit towards building and developing these prospects. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to play him on your big league team. But what it does mean is that they build up their value. You can trade him in for players that can help you right now. Jazz Chisholm can do that. Now, is Jazz Chisholm this superstar in Major League Baseball that the Yankees just acquired? No. Jazz Chisholm's a player who has a ton of upside, who hasn't really tapped into that potential. But I will say, based on what the Yankees' needs are right now, it is athleticism and league average bats. And I will say this about Jazz Chisholm. He's stolen 22 bases. When you talk about athleticism, Jazz Chisholm is that. Defensive versatility, another problem the Yankees have had. Who plays center field? You're talking about Grisham in center field. Is Gleyber Torres the answer long-term for the Yankees? Jazz Chisholm can play both positions. It allows the Yankees a position where you can play the best player available, and it's good to have more talent as opposed to less. That's what we were looking at. The Yankees didn't have any options to go to. They had no lifelines to go to. And right now, this is the benefit here, Jake, of finally, because we've been asking Brian Cashman for years, to get moves done early. It gives you time to pivot and do something else.
Yes.
Getting this deal done a couple days early, the Yankees shouldn't be done. We can expect more, and I'm looking forward to what happens.
Yeah, no, this is great. I mean, I think you and I both were very excited about this. I know you were excited about this. I mean, this is like, if you're having a bad day, this is a shot in the arm that you need. I'll just say that right now. After yesterday, to have this trade go through, Yankee fans have every reason to feel good about this. Now, let me just be very clear here. Jazz Chisholm is not a rental either, okay? He's got 2 years of control, okay? So including this year, like, he has two more years on top of this year. He's not a free agent until 2027. So I love these trades because rentals and, you know, Tanner Scott was not a part of this deal. And we talked about him with John, but, you know, Tanner Scott is a rental. So I do like the idea because you can do two things at once. You can go out and get somebody to help you win a World Series. And you can also go out and get somebody that can help you win a World Series that has, you know, a few years of control left over. And they cost a little bit more, but the Yankees didn't really pay a premium, it looks like, for having two extra years of control with Jazz. So, yeah, I mean, this is an A-plus, you know, trade by Cashman. I got to give him a lot of credit here because Jazz not only offers a second base option, a shortstop option. We don't know if he could play third, and honestly, I don't want to just see if he can play third. He's a really good center fielder. I mean, really good. So
that's where I'm expecting him to play, to be quite honest with you, because unless Gleyber Torres, who you just asked, Morosi, are we going to be trading this player? And he said it was possible now, yeah. So we're going to keep that door open. If Gleyber Torres is able to be traded in for an arm, then great. Jazz Chisholm has since this week said, I prefer playing second base. But in the off chance you want to keep Gleyber Torres, who, by the way, Jake, Gleyber Torres is swinging a very hot bat. Just of late. We're talking about a dude who's hitting 360 the past couple weeks. This is a guy who's found it offensively. You can make the argument. You bring Giancarlo Stanton back. You get Jason Dominguez back through the door. You've got Jazz Chisholm and Gleyber Torres who are swinging hot bats. And you bring a little bit more athleticism, a little more thump. It's not just we're putting balls in play. We're going to be scoring runs. So, again, a lot of question marks, a lot of who's going to be doing what and where. But these are good problems to have because just a couple days ago, without Jazz Chisholm, we don't have any answers. We have no answer at third base. We have no answer at second or center field. We have Grisham taking huge at-bats in a must-win series. So this should answer some of that. Grisham goes back to the role he was always intended to play, which is a makeshift guy who's going to go in there, defensive replacement late in the game, keep guys fresh, a week start max. This brings those roles back into play. This is a huge help for the Yankees. And again, me being this excited about a player, I'm not necessarily over the moon about Jazz Chisholm in terms of being a future star for the Yankees. It's not what they need. They need productive players who are good at what their job is. We need you to play a role. Jazz Chisholm for the New York Yankees for a winning franchise can be that role player that puts us over the top because let's be clear, Jake, the Baltimore Orioles aren't taking this division the way we thought they would. No. They, based on the way we've struggled, should have run away with this division. But let's remember, this is a highly flawed team. They're very injured in the back end of their bullpen. Bautista's gone. They don't have any answers in their starting rotation. They're out there scouting. It's the reason Morosi's in Detroit. They're looking at Skubal. Do we give up Holiday? They've got question marks too. We filled one of our question marks today with Jazz Chisholm. And frankly, Yankees fans should be a lot happier right now watching our show than they were just a few minutes ago.
Yeah. And just think about this, Gary. I mean, for real, just think about this. We already knew they were getting reinforcements with Giancarlo Stanton and Jason Dominguez. So to add Jazz to that, now you've got three new bats into a lineup that currently today will not have any of those three guys. So that's really an exciting dynamic. And I don't think they're done. I really don't. I think they get another bat. I don't know if that's Berger also in, you know, Miami playing third. I don't know if that's, you know, we've talked
that should
about
be an him. Outfielder. Let's be clear, because Jason Dominguez will be back.
Yeah.
Do you put Jason Dominguez in left field if Chisholm is in center?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. And honestly, I think putting Chisholm in center probably makes sense because I think keeping Jason Dominguez healthy makes a lot of sense as well. And maybe just seeing what we've seen from him so far, how he's had a hard time staying healthy, maybe him playing center field is not the best move for him. So I actually like that. And then now you have to figure out, because this is the only problem, is that when Jazz is in center, Judge is DH, Stanton's not in the lineup. So I do think this is when we're coming for full circle here. This is where you have to start using Aaron Judge as a first baseman. I mean, if you can insert Aaron Judge, Stanton, Jazz, Jason Dominguez, Juan Soto all in the lineup, all guys that are essentially outfielders, except Jazz also plays the infield. Now you are in a really good position there. Those are five bats that have to be in the lineup every night.
Because we know there's some people who look at that and think, well, obviously Aaron Judge is a great outfielder. He can play center field. He's 6'7". He's got a cannon. Why wouldn't we want him out there? No, we do want him out there.
Yeah.
But the issue here is the problem it presents down the road. And based on the assets you just acquired, Jazz Chisholm is more than likely to play center field. Well, if he's in center field and Jason Dominguez, you think he's part of the future and he's in left. Well, where does that leave Aaron Judge? Obviously, you've got Soto and Judge. One of them has to either DH, take up that spot, or these players that you pay a lot of money, you probably want them in the field somewhere. The Philadelphia Phillies did it with Bryce Harper. They threw him at first base. People had question marks whether or not Bryce could do that athletically. You mean to tell me Bryce Harper can do this and Aaron Judge can't find a way to do this at first base? Exactly. I think it opens up so many doors for the Yankees and in general actually makes our lineup better because we can slot that extra bat in there. Otherwise, we couldn't.
No, I absolutely agree. And, you know, I also want to, you know, bring up something here because with Jazz, what this also does is add athleticism to this lineup. So now you're essentially getting more athletic on the base paths. I think, I don't know if he's going to lead off. I honestly wouldn't mind him leading off. I wouldn't, especially with that speed. But there's something that really intrigues me about playing him at the bottom of the order with him and Volpe. And if you could get a legitimate leadoff, maybe Jason Dominguez leads off, right? That's some good athleticism at the bottom of the order, bleeding into the heart of the lineup. And now you have those guys that can steal bases and create havoc on the base paths. And I think that's something that the Yankees are prioritizing here. I think it's a big reason why they went after Jazz and maybe, you know, not somebody like, and again, it has not been confirmed that they won't do this and won't do that. But like Isak Paredes, that was a biggest issue of mine, is that he's just not very athletic. And I feel like going out and getting a youthful, exuberant, fast, athletic, mobile type of guy, I think it makes a lot of sense because this is a team that is grounding into double plays at will. And if you could get some guys that can actually beat out those ground balls and whatnot, you know, it'll help. But also, I mean, Jazz has some power. He becomes the fourth guy in this lineup, essentially.
That's actually what I remember. I said I would love to see Jazz Chisholm hit fourth. Now, I don't necessarily need to see a ton of pop because if you remember, when Alex Verdugo was hitting well, he wasn't hitting for a ton of power. He was putting balls in play. He was getting hits with runners in scoring position. He was a run producer. That's what the four hitter has to do. You need to produce runs. And we've talked about it. Even with Austin Wells, who a lot of us have said is probably a good spot for him, at least with our current personnel, to hit him fourth because he's a run producer. We don't need to see homers. Jazz Chisholm is of the same mold. And I will say this about Paredes and that pickup or any other pickup that doesn't necessarily bring athleticism to the table. It's okay, in my estimation, to bring players in who aren't necessarily athletic, but they do the little things when you've already tickled the itch of athleticism. Jazz Chisholm's a guy that came through the door who's immediately going to be noticeable on the field.
Yeah.
You can talk all you want that he doesn't hit for a 300 batting average and we need more contact bats, more guys to hit balls with authority. But Jazz Chisholm does all the little things we've been complaining about the last few weeks. You see DJ LeMahieu put the ball on the ground. You already know it's a foregone conclusion. That's a double play, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Giancarlo Stan puts the ball on the ground. Trevino put the ball on the ground. Any of those guys put a ball on the ground, you know what to expect. Jazz Chisholm is a wild card for this team. He feels a lot like Jock Peterson over the years, whether it be with the Dodgers or the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's one of those players that you would never mention in the conversation with great players around baseball, but situationally they could be utilized in winning ball clubs. And I think that's what this is.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, people are going to look up his Baseball Savant page and not be overly impressed. And, you know, I think he's one of those guys that, you know, analytically isn't going to blow you away. I will say this, in 2022, pretty much everything, barrel percentage, hard hit percentage, swing speed, exit velocity, expected slugging, expected on base. I mean, it's all in the red, so which is good. Of course,
it was a savant's wet dream in 2022.
Yeah.
So there's something to build off there.
Exactly. And like, you know, Jim brought up on the last show, you know, having guys around him that can essentially help him out, that he can look up to. I mean, he's been in Miami. He's been the leader in Miami. I mean, who else is really telling Jazz what to do? He's the guy that's been their jolt of energy. So I think this is a good opportunity for him to be around Judge, be around Soto, be around pros, and really work on his game and really take accountability. And I think, you know, also while also staying himself can the Yankees get the most out of this? So I'm very excited about it. Again, I think it's an A-plus trade. They needed this. We've talked about this on probably, I'd say, half of our episodes, if we're being honest. We've been talking about Jazz since freaking May.
It's good to see that come to fruition. And by the way, I was pleasantly surprised that John remembered that conversation. I did tell him that by the time we talk, Jazz Chisholm would be a Yankee. And it just so happened that it just bounced our way.
That
this
was
time.
A joke.
No. I messaged John Morosi and I said, before we talk, he's going to be a Yankee. He said, yeah, I'll hold you to that. I'm excited to see you guys. And then he, of course, joined our show. And long behold, you know, we get the lucky bounce this time. Hometown discount.
Wow, look at that. Ultra flex. Well, I think that's going to do it. We didn't want this show to be super long. We wanted this to be something that, hey, Jazz just got traded. This is big news. This is huge news for our channel, our fans, the audience, everything. But we wanted to have this readily available because the game is going to be on later. And who knows how well this video is going to do after that. But at least until the game, you have this to tie you over. We explained pretty much everything, you know, that we can about this. I mean, we could probably do an entire hour-long episode on the Yankees if we wanted to, but we're trying to keep this digestible. So we appreciate you guys tuning in. Let us know in the comment section how you feel about the new Yankee, Jazz Chisholm. And be sure to like, subscribe, and comment. Follow Gary at Gary Sheffield Jr. Follow me at JK Bogan. And follow Yankees Unloaded at Yankees Unloaded. Hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll see you guys in the next video.
And like this video.